Ja, also herzlichen Dank, dass Sie sich noch etwas Zeit nehmen hier für das Gespräch. Für mich ist Eriks ein wirklich ganz besonderer Mensch. Ich habe ihn in Washington kennengelernt und er ist Minister des Inneren von Lettland gewesen von 2003 bis 2005 und er ist lutherischer Priester in Chicago und hat in Riga studiert und hat viele interessante Dinge in seinem Leben erlebt. Und diese interessanten Dinge freue ich mich, die hier auch ein bisschen teilen zu können, weil das auch irgendwie interessant ist. Ja, meine erste Frage stelle ich erstmal auf Englisch. Die Eric, so you grew up behind the Iron Curtain in Soviet Union, and as far as I know, you had not a Christian family background or not very strong relationship to Christian faith. How did it come that you became a pastor, that you started to believe in God? Also nochmal auf Deutsch, also Eriks, du bist aufgewachsen hinter dem Eisernen Vorhang in der Sowjetunion, hast nicht viel mitbekommen in deiner Jugend von christlichem Glauben. Wie ist es eigentlich gekommen, dass du Theologie studiert hast und dass du Gott gefunden hast?
Thank you very much for kind words and an introduction. And indeed, as Martin said, and Pastor, so I had and still have very interested, blessed and very colorful life full of adventures. But I would like to emphasize the story. It's really in my life, it's not about me, but about God Almighty, who changed not only my life, but who changed the life of Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, the whole Eastern Europe, and former USSR. It was really a miracle.
Ja, vielleicht erst einmal noch eine Frage, wie wichtig ist es, dass ich genau übersetze? Verstehen alle ein bisschen oder sollte ich lieber zusammenfassen oder genau alles übersetzen? Fast alle. So. Dann gebe ich vielleicht eher eine Zusammenfassung. Manche verstehen es auch nicht, also ich gebe dann schon eine etwas längere Zusammenfassung, aber vielleicht nicht ganz so lang, um einfach ein bisschen Zeit zu sparen, wenn das recht ist. Also, Eric sagte, vielen Dank für die sehr freundliche Begrüßung. Es geht hier um meine Lebensgeschichte, wenn ich die jetzt erzähle, dann ist es nicht meine Lebensgeschichte, um die es geht, sondern es geht dabei um Gott, der gewirkt hat in meinem Leben und auch in dem Leben der ganzen Länder, Estland, Litauen, Lettland. Und da möchte ich nur ein bisschen erzählen.
Yes, I would like to greet you. First of all, I want to thank you for your hospitality and the amazing spirit you have in the church. So I'm very blessed and happy to be here.
Ja, also zunächst möchte er uns herzlich grüßen und uns danken für die Gastfreundschaft, ihn hier zu empfangen.
I would like to come up with and to share the words from the Sermon of the Mount. And one of the verses which Jesus said was, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for truth and righteousness.
Da möchte erst einmal beginnen mit einem Wort aus der Bergpredigt. Selig sind die, die hungert und dürstet nach Wahrheit und Gerechtigkeit.
You just saw the pictures when I was a soldier in the Red Army, in the Soviet Army, in the Spetsnaz, because of my boxing experience. I was Olympic boxer those years.
Das ist ein Jugendbild von Eriks als Soldat in der Roten Armee. Und er kam in Spezialeinheiten dieser Armee, weil er Boxer war. Er war im Olympiateam und hatte einige Sachen auch gewonnen gehabt, schon als Champion, als Boxer.
And while I was in a Soviet military, I found out that the colonel or the general of the big army unit was responsible of killing my grandparents. So, and for me as a young soldier, it was a great shock to find out that I'm serving the military, the Red Army, who actually deported my nation, killed my grandparents, hundreds of thousands of people, all the genocide which happened. And of course, Soviets or Russians, they tried to rob us of our sense of history. And so it was at that time in Soviet Union as a totalitarian, atheistic, anti-Christian system, everybody was hungry and thirsty for truth, for freedom, for love.
Ja, in dieser Einheit bemerkte Eriks, dass er der oberste General des Ganzen, mit dem er zu tun hatte, dieser Einheit, auch verantwortlich war für Deportation und für die Tötung vieler Letten, die nach dem Zweiten Weltkrieg und später stattfand. Und es war auch seine Großeltern ums Leben gekommen auf diese Weise. Und in diesem Staat der Sowjetunion empfand er sehr stark als atheistisch und antichristlich. Und jeder war irgendwie auf der Suche nach Wahrheit, nach Freiheit und nach Gerechtigkeit.
And although I grew up behind the Iron Curtain in this system, we didn't have any alternative. So we didn't have the Bibles. The churches was closed. So there was not even discussion at all about is there God or not or religion. It was all wiped out. It was no one knew anything about God. And it's interesting that even in Soviet Union, everybody knows the Alexander Dumas, Three Musketeers, right? The famous book and story. It's a book, wonderful book. And in Soviet Union, who had this book too. And it was very interesting that when you buy this book, and it was not anti-Kremlin or communist, so Russians let this book happen. And so you read this book, and in order to understand Three Musketeers, simple fairy tale or legend on novel, so at the end of the book, there was a dictionary. There was a dictionary with, I don't know, like hundreds and hundreds of words, which helps you to read Alexandre Dumas, Three Musketeers. So, and the words was like church, because no one knew what's church, cathedral, basilic, altar, crucifix, Good Samaritan, Jesus, Judas, apostles, disciples, prophets, sacristy, etc., etc. So, and it shows you how Christianity and the Christian culture, how it was powerful and rooted in. So that's what Soviets did. It all was taken away from vocabulary, dictionary, and the culture, physical destroying. And so it's a good example showing that's why we had this spiritual vacuum, and including me and many people were hungry and thirsty for deliverance, for freedom, for God.
Ja, um den atheistischen Charakter des Staates und das spirituelle Vakuum zu illustrieren, kann man von der Übersetzung des Buches Die drei Musketiere von Alexandre Dumas sprechen. Dieses Buch, das in Russland publiziert war in den 60er, 70er Jahren wahrscheinlich, hatte am Ende ein Wörterbuch, in dem wie Realitäten, die für uns ganz fern sind, erklärt wurde, was ist denn eine Kirche, was ist Jesus, was ist Judas, was ist ein Sakrament und so weiter, weil man es erklären musste, weil niemand das in seinem normalen Umfeld hatte und weil man es tatsächlich wie was völlig Fremdes, über das man noch nicht einmal sprach, ansah.
Ja, yeah, and when I returned from Soviet military, I decided that I don't want to be part of this evil system, and I didn't know what to do, but I was seeking for truth, and I was so hungry and thirsty, and I was seeking for truth, and then me and my friend decided that we have to escape from USSR, and KGB was after me. They tried to recruit me, and I was in hiding for some, like, few months in the woods and in different places. And then we tried to escape and to cross the border of Russia or Soviet Union and Finland, because Finland and Russia had the border. So, but we were detained 10 kilometers before border and put in jail.
Also nach der Militärzeit beschloss er mit einigen Freunden die Sowjetunion zu verlassen und sie flohen oder machten einen Fluchtversuch. Sie mussten sich verstecken. Es war auch so, dass der KGB sie gerne als Mitarbeiter hätte gewinnen wollen, aber sie wollten das alles nicht und wurden aber 10 Kilometer vor der sowjetisch-finnischen Grenze dann auch verhaftet.
And it's a long story, but I'll try to be short. So they detained me and my friend, I was boxing champion. He was one of the best martial arts and practitioners. So we were detained and put in individually in different cells. And so we spent 3 days and three nights. We were interrogated by five men. So it was very, very torturous experience. These 3 days seemed like 3 years. And so basically it was the time of Andropov, who was General Secretary of USSR, and they threatened us to put in prison for minimum 25 years or to life with possibility that we'd never come out. So they would probably kill us. So, and here I was, a young man about dreams for liberty and freedom, facing the life in prison, in Russian prison. And that's where I thought it's a dead end. But I didn't give up with my spirit and mind, and I don't know prayer. I don't know what does it mean to pray, how to pray, but there was something in my heart said that I cannot to give up. And then every night I saw very strange, when I thought, powerful dream, that I'm looking very up with a gaze at the top of the church, and I see big golden cross and very bright sun. And at that time I didn't know what a strange dream doesn't. It was very powerful, but I didn't have an idea what it means. And after we were released in prison, in a short time I found God, or rather say that God found me.
Ja, also dann kam es in der Haft zu 3 Tagen sehr intensiver und auch mit Folter verbundener Befragung und auch mit der Bedrohung, sehr lange Haftstrafen, vielleicht auch Haftstrafen, aus denen man nicht mehr herauskommt, zu erleben. Aber in dieser Haft sah Eriks ja, wie im Traum sehr klar, wie ein Kirchturm mit einem goldenen Kreuz, auf das die Sonne schien. Er wusste gar nicht besonders, was er damit anfangen sollte, aber das erschien ihm dann im Traum dieser Nächte über.
Yeah, and of course in Soviet Union, USSR, when I told about this dream to my friend, we saw cross and he was very skeptical, you know, thinking, because the cross was symbol of the grave in USSR. When you say cross, it means it's alles, it's genug, it's finished, finalmente, basta, so you are done. It's like a grave, it's a death. And but it turned out that the cross, the empty cross, it's a symbol of resurrected Jesus Christ. And when we returned from this prison in Letland, in Latvia, so most of the people were afraid to talk to us because we were labeled as criminals. And one day I passed by in a church. I was 25 at that time. I entered the church, and at the age of 25, first time in my life, I saw crucifix, altar. So I was very, very amazed. And so that's where I met a man, very pious man, who in literally 30 minutes gave me answers to all my existential questions about liberty, freedom, and he was very pious, humble, but very powerful, peaceful. And when I talked about freedom, he said, "You cannot know freedom. Truth will set you free, and then you'll be free." So the truth, it's not just a theory or philosophy, but it's existential. the truth are consist of words which are life and spirit, the word of God. So, and his answers was very powerful in this. My soul and spirit was ready in the 30 minutes, and the end of conversation, he looked into my eyes and he said, the question is, can you accept God? And I never thought of that even, but my answer was yes. And when I said yes, I had this feeling that like goosebumps that I will levitate because something is changing. And I even hadn't read the Bible. I didn't know about Christian faith or teachings, nothing. So it was, I think it was fulfillment of Sermon of the Mount. Blessed are hungry and thirsty for truth. And I was miserable, I was ignorant, I didn't know what to do, but I didn't give up, but I was hungry and thirsty, and the blessing came and I found him.
Ja, also zunächst einmal war der Gedanke bei dem Kreuz seines Mitgefangenen, das sei vielleicht ein Zeichen, dass sie alle sterben werden, aber in Wirklichkeit zeigte sich das doch, dass das Kreuz ein Zeichen der Auferstehung auch ist und von Christus. Und einige Zeit nachdem sie dann wieder auf freiem Fuß waren, ging Erik zum ersten Mal in eine Kirche und fand dort einen sehr demütigen Menschen, der mit ihnen sprach eine halbe Stunde lang und sagte, ja, Wahrheit wird euch frei machen. Ihr findet Freiheit nur durch die Wahrheit, und Wahrheit ist etwas Spirituelles, etwas Geistliches, etwas, was man erfährt auf existenzielle Weise. Und am Ende hat der Mann auch sogar gefragt, ob er bereit sei, Gott zu akzeptieren, und die Antwort war selbst auch überraschend ja gewesen, noch bevor irgendwie die Bibel gelesen zu haben oder viel darüber zu wissen. Aber es gab ein Gefühl, irgendwie herausgehoben zu sein und auf dem Weg zu etwas Neuem zu sein.
Yes, and then in shortly, in a couple of weeks, I was baptized and confirmed. It happened in Catholic Church, and so it was very, very powerful experience. It was a life changer, and since I was famous athlete in my country, I was well-known boxer. I had experience and friends among intellectuals and people on the street, and different people, and most of the people knowing my personality before, because I was a real boxing fighter, like Friedrich Nietzsche type Superman, your fists, your mind, very egocentric, narcissistic, as a atheistic system is by definition. If there is no God, there is no soul, there is no eternal life, so it's you are the center of the world, and it is very selfish and egoistic. And in me, it changed, and my friends, either fighters or boxers or gangsters or intellectuals, so they thought that I got crazy because I'm praying every day, I don't go to parties, I live in the monastery, which I did, and it created certain movement. I had lots of followers, and the KGB didn't like that, and they started to persecute me again.
Ja, also ein paar Wochen später wurde Eriks getauft, und die Kirche, in der er zuerst gegangen war eine katholische, so wurde er katholisch getauft. Hatte viele Freunde und war sehr bekannt, auch als Boxer, und galt als einer, dem vor allen Dingen der Kampf, Friedrich Nietzsche sagte er, der Übermensch, die Stärke, das egozentrische Leben, das besonders wichtig ist, und seine Freunde waren ganz überrascht, dass er diesen Weg ging und in einem Kloster wie ein Mönch lebte. Und dann kamen die Leute eben, zunächst dachten sie, er ist verrückt geworden, und dann kamen sie aber auch zu ihm, und da gewannen einige, die dann auch Interesse am Glauben fanden und mit ihm sich auf den Weg machten. Und das führte auch wieder dazu, dass der KGB ihn, weil er eine bekannte Persönlichkeit im ganzen Land war, dann eben auch noch mal wieder besonders ins Visier nahm.
In spite of all these events, I was ordained the Lutheran pastor in Latvia, and KGB persecutions came more and more, and finally one day there was a publication in all central newspapers, on the covers of newspapers in Latvian, Lithuanian, Estonian, Russian, all over the Russia. There was a big article. It was called Pharisees Without Masks, where they accused the Latvian dissidents or freedom fighters and pastors being anti-Kremlin. And there is a big picture. One of these pictures, I think, was there when I'm standing, is karate fighting position. And this article said that Eric Jacobson's nationalistic anti-communist pastor is in charge of secret underground combat group of holy fathers who are ready with their fists to overthrow Kremlin and the government and to make... So it was just crazy. But the picture was very good, black and white, and I looked like a Bruce Lee, and it caused a big sensation. And this article was literally published all over the USSR, from the Baltic states to Vladivostok. And even many years after, I met the Russian military people who remembered that. So it was KGB. Yeah, that's the article on the right side. Yeah, and KGB, actually, everybody was afraid, my parents, that KGB compromise you, and then they put you in jail in Siberia or psychiatric asylum. But it was already very beginning of Perestroika, Gorbachev, and so it was an opposite effect. And the next Sunday when I came to the church, a small church, there was thousands of young people, and all they said, Eriks, we want to join your holy group of holy fathers. We want, like Shaolin monks in China, we want to protect our churches. So it started huge movement. So what KGB did was, it was opposite. And because of that, I became even more international dissident, and BBC, Voice of America, they talked about me. And to make long story short is, when Ronald Reagan first came to Moscow, met Gorbachev, as you remember, probably you're too young, some of you who don't, but there was a list, and my name was on the list of Ronald Reagan, and so he sent his TV crew to Riga, Letland, and they interviewed me, and it was very powerful interview and story, and they showed this piece all over the American Canada on ABC Nightly News with Peter Jennings. And after that, KGB said, that's it, you know, he's evil, American, spy, CIA, criminal. And to make long story short, they expelled us from Latvia in 1989. And that's where I landed in Chicago and studied theology and had my parish and my boxing and martial arts gym in Chicago.
Ja, ich muss ein bisschen kürzer machen, obwohl es eine auch lustige Geschichte ist. Also zunächst einmal studierte Eriks dann sozusagen im Untergrund lutherische Theologie in Riga und wurde dann auch sehr bald Pastor und hat eine kleine Kirche gehabt. Und dann passierte Folgendes. Eines Tages publizierte alle Zeitungen in Russland, ein nationalistischer litauischer Pastor sammelt Kämpfer, die gegen den Kommunismus vorgehen wollen, sogenannte Holy Fathers, heilige Väter, die da sich auf den Kampf vorbereiten und versah das mit einem älteren Bild aus den Zeiten des Boxens und des Kämpfens. Und das führte dann dazu, dass am nächsten Sonntag in die Kirche Tausende von Leuten kamen, die sich diesem Kampf anschließen wollten. Und das machte ihn natürlich sehr populär, und es war sehr, sehr spannende Zeit. Und manche sagten, es ist sehr gefährlich, er würde bestimmt irgendwann bald irgendwo im Gefängnis landen oder sein Leben verlieren. Aber es war schon die Zeit mit Gorbatschow und der Perestroika, und dann kam Ronald Reagan nach Moskau, um Gorbatschow zu treffen, und hatte auf der Liste von Dissidenten auch seinen Namen gehabt. Und es gab auch einen Bericht dann im amerikanischen Fernsehen darüber, über ihn, und das führte dann dazu, dass er dann ausreiste nach USA ging.
So, and maybe to finish my story, I hope I didn't take too much time. After service of almost 18 years in Chicago as a Lutheran minister, I graduated university. I did lots of writing, and I was guest speaker in different colleges, churches, universities. I received a call from God to help my country, not only to talk and to write and preach, but to go. And I returned to Latvia, and I was involved in politics. I was elected in the parliament. I became vice speaker of Latvian parliament, and then I became minister of interior of Latvia. And at that time, when I was in Latvia, Latvia became full-fledged member of NATO and the European Union. And after all these things would happen in communist times, it was unbelievable. It was a God's miracle. Then literally in such a short time, Latvia not only regained its independence, but it became full-fledged member of European Union and NATO. So it's a really divine providence. And I think that I'm sure that everybody talks historically about perestroika, that Gorbachev came and big reformer, and that's where things started to change. I don't believe so. I think, first of all, it was divine providence. It was God's plan. I lived there, I know. And even before Gorbachev, there was already very, very strong resistance movement. People were hungry and thirsty in Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Poland with Lech Walesa, Václav Havel in Czech, and the same with Baltic. So the churches, it was amazing, but churches were starting to fill. And young people out of nowhere, like myself, who didn't know anything about Geschichte, you know, history and churches, nothing. So they started to come. They were, you know, like looking for light, for air, because we were suffocating. So that was what happened before perestroika. So I credit this all, my story and the story of Baltic states, to divine providence and to people who just responded to that. There were no heroes. I am not hero, anyone else. So it was really divine providence. And we were blessed by that, of course. So, and now we have different challenges and problems and crises all over the world. Okay.
Ja, dann studierte Eric in Chicago Theologie und war viele Jahre Pastor einer lutherischen Gemeinde dort und erlebte dann es wie eine Berufung, nach Lettland zurückzugehen, um dort dann auch in die Politik zu gehen. Er war Sprecher des Parlaments und dann nachher Innenminister. In der spannenden Zeit, als das Land dann Mitglied der NATO und der EU wurde. Und im Rückblick sagt er, er empfand es nicht, dass einzelne Menschen irgendwie die Helden dieses ganzen Prozesses waren, sondern er erlebt es auch wie ein Wunder, dass es so gekommen ist und dass es auch göttliche Vorsehung war, dass schon lange bevor die Perestroika und diese Öffnung, das alles waren, einfach die Menschen auf einmal in die Kirche kamen und eine Sehnsucht, einen Hunger danach hatten und plötzlich Leute von irgendwo her kamen, wie er, fast aus dem Nichts, die sich dann engagiert haben, dass sich hier eine Veränderung dann auch durchsetzt. Vielleicht haben ja einige noch Fragen oder irgendetwas. He says it's for him very astonishing that after 3 days you got free after trying to escape from the USSR.
Yeah, that's a good question. Like many people ask this question in Latvia, like in Eastern Germany, I can understand. It seems very simple how it's possible. But the answer is very simple because I was Soviet citizen. And me and my friend, since I was in Spetsnaz, Special War Forces, I was part of the Soviet Union. So, and when we prepared for this crossing the border, so we created very precise step-by-step plan through rivers and everything. And so we created at the same time alibi, knowing that we might be caught or detained. But we were not caught right on the border, but it was 10 kilometers before the border. So our fabulous legend was that we are hiking in its beautiful neighborhood here. So they interrogated, so they knew that we are going to cross, but they couldn't prove it at that time. So and some of the so it was very dangerous situation, but and still they could have put in the prison if they would want with KGB and everything else. If we would be caught right on the border in the act crossing border, with I would be probably sitting in the prison right now. So, but our very perfect good planning prevented us from doing that. So, if it's answer, but I can answer more if you want.
Ja, also die Antwort ist, sie wurden 10 Kilometer von der Grenze festgenommen und hatten schon Pläne mit Alibis und alles vorbereitet für so einen Fall und konnten dann erzählen, dass sie da einfach eine Wanderung machten in der Gegend und verschiedene Evidenzen beibringen, sodass man nicht beweisen konnte, dass sie einen Fluchtplan hatten. Und deswegen kamen sie recht bald frei. Yes, a question of Professor Biermann. Could you say something about the actual situation in Latvia now of the church? How many people are open for Christ, for being in church, or, and so on?
I would say that I've traveled a lot in Western Europe, but we're living in the Eastern Europe, and the Baltic states are Baltic states like Nordic, Eastern. I would say the situation of church in general is Latvia, it's good. There are people going to church, they're visiting church. And we have mostly Latvians are Lutherans. I would say more than 50% or 60 are Lutheran churches, congregation. And maybe 40 or more than that are Catholics. And then we have small Baptist congregation and some evangelicals. We have Russian Orthodox churches too. But I must say that during the Soviet years, all the Christendom in Latland is very ecumenical. So they are, you know, they have services together. And so it's good. And we have some in the central churches in capital Riga, we have some young pastors who are my age or younger. But so they are very, very good theology, very contemporary, and almost every Sunday there is a huge movement. So I think churches are well and alive, although we start to experience the same problems like in Western Christianity that, you know, after behind Iron Curtain, like one American asked me, are you conservative or are you liberal or are you this? And I remember in the 80s we said, we don't know. So we just try to be disciples of Jesus Christ. So we try to be disciples of his truth. So we don't know, what does it really mean? It's good to be liberal or bad or conservative. So and they said, ha ha ha, they liked it. So they published in Christianity Today in America that, you know, Latvians say. So, but now it's a little bit more. There are even Lutherans that are more conservative or liberal or different directions. But generally, it's Christianity is well and alive, I think.
Ja, so in Lettland ist die allgemeine Situation der Kirche recht gut, gerade auch im Vergleich zu Westeuropa. Mehr als 50% der Bevölkerung sind Lutheraner. Bis zu ja, 40 oder Prozent, vielleicht auch ein bisschen weniger katholisch und dann orthodoxe und noch andere Gruppen sind dort. Und
Sie haben eine lange ökumenische Tradition der guten Zusammenarbeit. Die Menschen gehen recht viel in die Kirche und natürlich hat sich manches geändert. Am Anfang wurden sie gefragt, ob sie, als sie noch Kommunismus war, die Frage, sind sie denn liberal oder konservativ, die Lutheraner, und sie haben die Frage gar nicht verstanden und gesagt, wir wollen einfach nur irgendwie Schüler Jesu sein, aber nicht können damit gar nichts anhören, ist das jetzt gut, liberal oder konservativ zu sein. Und in der Zwischenzeit gibt es schon auch solche Gruppen und verschiedene Sachen. Aber insgesamt ist es doch erfreulich, wie die Entwicklung ist, so sieht er das jedenfalls. Other question? So if not, perhaps you could make just a final word, something you would to say to us, give us on our way.
Yeah, I just want to thank you, herzliche Danke, for your hospitality and kindness, for the pastor and for Martin introduced us. So I'm really blessed, and I'm not saying just the compliments, but the spirit of your church and community, it's amazing. And so all I can wish is my wishes for you to walk in the faith of the Lord and to continue to be his disciples, disciples of Jesus Christ, which means disciples of truth, of love, of patience, of meekness, with all the Christian virtue, and at the same time not to forget to be witnesses of the truth. That's very important, because otherwise like we see it in politics and in academia, universities, and sometimes in the churches, we are like in the ivory tower. And around us there is happening conflicts, violence, wars, lots of problems, but we are just sometimes have tendency preach to each other. And I think very important, it's after my many years in politics, that you have to have this hands-on approach. You have to be like a missionary out to the world, to the whole world. And it's very, very important, and we all have to pray for wisdom to do that. So I wish you be hot in your love towards God and towards the truth, and that God will guide you. Thanks again.
Gut, ich übersetze aber auch den Dank und die guten Wünsche noch einmal. Also erst einmal herzlichen Dank für Ihre Gastfreundschaft, und es ist Ihnen sehr bewegt, auch der Geist hier in dieser Kirche und der Gemeinschaft, und er möchte uns auf den Weg geben, dass wir weiter in dem Weg Jesu bleiben, im Glauben, und uns an seine Liebe, an die Wahrheit, an den Glauben erhalten und diese christlichen Tugenden, wie man es manchmal nennt, dann auch lebt, und dass sie Platz nehmen in unserem Leben und dabei auch nicht vergesst, auch Zeugen zu sein, Zeugen für Gott in den verschiedenen Kontexten des Lebens, mit dem wir zu tun haben, und nicht zurückgezogen nur zu sein unter uns, sondern auch nach außen im Alltag. Weisheit wünscht er uns, dass wir die finden, in guter Weise da Zeugen zu sein. Ja, thank you very much, Eric.